Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Vitality Explorer podcast. My name is Dr. Alan Mishra. Okay, we're going to start the podcast off with a quote, like we typically do. And this one is from Charlotte Bronte, author of Jane Eyre. Quote, "A ruffled mind makes a restless pillow." A ruffled mind makes a restless pillow. I love that one. All right, so our goal, as always, with the Vitality Explorer podcast is to optimize your vitality. We try to deliver specific, actionable advice based on the latest scientific information to improve your physical, mental, social, and spiritual well-being. We now have over 500 scientific posts and podcasts available on the Vitality Explorer Substack site based on the core principles of vitality as a skill, and that vitality is a gift only you can give yourself by taking ownership over your decisions. Now, this week's topics are sleeping like a baby may extend lifespan, worry less to sleep more, and smiling enhances vitality. So let's jump into that. Sleeping like a baby may extend your lifespan, or actually sort of the opposite is also true, which is why poor sleep shortens longevity. And I've got a great picture of my daughter Katie sleeping on my chest when she was just a little baby, maybe a month or two old. I don't even know for sure. Check that out on the Vitality Explorer Substack site if you wish. But here's a quote from one of the papers we're going to review today. Quote, "Poor sleep health is a potentially modifiable risk factor for cardiovascular, metabolic, and mental health, as well as all-cause mortality." Pause and think about that for a second. Your sleep is connected to your physical and your mental well-being and your mortality, and it's a modifiable risk factor. So that quote comes from this paper called Shared Genetic Architecture and Causal Relationship Between Sleep Behaviors and Lifespan. And I think this study is fascinating because it combined genetic analysis with sleep patterns and longevity. So they were looking at sort of shared genetic markers and then investigated things like short duration sleep and long duration sleep and insomnia. And then they were looking at a variety of these different markers, and they found some overlap. And again, you can see the markers and you can see sort of the Venn diagrams on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. But here is the primary conclusion of the study. Quote, "Genetically predicted short sleep duration was causally and negatively associated with lifespan." And here are three other interesting quotes from the paper. Quote, "Conventional epidemiologic studies have found increased rates of mortality with people with sleep duration." We just talked about that. The second quote is, quote, "Short sleep duration is a causal factor for cardiovascular disease and other poor physical and mental health." So they're sort of confirming there that if you sleep a very short duration, that's increased risk for cardiovascular disease and mental health issues. So the final quote from the paper is, quote, "We provided direct genetic evidence that short sleep duration is a causal risk factor for short lifespan, which is partially mediated by coronary artery disease and type 2 diabetes." So basically what they found are these correlations between various markers for short sleep that were connected with coronary artery disease and type 2 diabetes, which then obviously are predictive of a shorter lifespan. So I think what this confirms, again, adding in a genetic component to this, is that shorter sleep equals a shorter life. And I think when you talk about considering sleep a superpower or one of the foundational components of vitality, the data is off the chart. And too often we skimp on how we sleep because we think we're too busy or we don't understand how important it is to our overall wellness. And we've been talking a lot about sleep in the last week or two for these reasons. You can eat right, you can exercise, you can have a variety of other things in your world, but if you do not prioritize your sleep, you will not be able to be your most vital self. And so that's why I think sleep should be sacrosanct. I had to look up that word, by the way. That's a fancy word, but it just basically means it should be, never ever given something other than a top priority. All right, it should be very, very important. You can again see the references to this on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. We're going to going to sort of pivot here briefly into a different version of why sleep can be difficult. And that is the second thing we're going to talk about today or this week on the Vitality Explorer podcast. And again, my name is Dr. Alan Mishra. I'm an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist, the founder of Vitality Explorers. And you can find the references to this on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. But this idea of worrying less to sleep more, and then three specific ways to combat negative thinking is what we're going to talk about next. And this is, again, like we try to do always on Vitality Explorers, this is not my opinion. This is based on peer-reviewed published data. And here's a quote from the paper we're going to talk about in connection with this particular post. Quote, higher levels of repetitive negative thinking, that's both worrying and brooding, were associated with lower objective sleep efficiency. Now, I'll have to be honest, I had to look this stuff and carefully review this paper, but worrying, okay, which I think almost all of us do, is future-directed negative thinking. So we're concerned about the future. We're worried about something in the future. I guess the sort of medical definition of brooding is past-directed negative thinking. But it turns out that there's a lot of connections between this idea of negative thinking and poor sleep. And sleep efficiency, which is the marker they were using in this paper, includes things like sleep duration, whether you wake up at night, sleep latency, and latency is just the amount of time it takes you to fall asleep. But the primary conclusion that negative thinking is associated with lower sleep efficiency was based on a study of 135 cognitively healthy older adults, and here's the name of the paper. Quote, associations between repetitive negative thinking and objective and subjective sleep health in cognitively healthy older adults. Okay, here's some other stuff from the paper. Repetitive negative thinking has been, quote, associated with a range of mental, physical, and neurologic disorders. And here's the thought. I think all of us have had times when we didn't sleep well because we were either worrying, remember, future-directed negative thinking, or brooding, past-directed negative thinking about something. That could be a work project, that could be a relationship, or it could be one of the many epic challenges that our world is facing today. So I don't think we're going to necessarily get away from negative thinking completely, but I think we need to have strategies to combat negative thinking. And that's what I want to focus on the rest of this particular post. Actually, not the rest of it, but let me name three things and then we'll dive a little bit more into the details of that. But here's three ways to combat negative thinking. Number one, which I think is zero cost, is deep breathing exercise. Number two is exhaustive exercise. And number three is shift from threat mode to challenge mode. Now, I'll dive more into those in a few minutes, but I think it's worth reviewing a few more of the details of the paper. The researchers found that more worrying leads to either shorter or longer duration sleep, both of which are good or not good for our vitality. So if you sleep, say, less than 5 hours or more than 10 hours a night, you definitely have either poor physical or mental health. So normal sleep duration typically is 7 to 9 hours. But if you're worrying too much, or if you're brooding too much, if you have negative thinking going on, you're going to either sleep shorter amount of time or longer. And there was also worrying and brooding. These negative thinking patterns were associated with a lower sleep quality index. And again, I had to look these all up. I'm not an absolute sleep expert. I have read hundreds of papers about this, but I think it's important if you want to lead your most vital life to dive into the scientific details of these things, including something called the Pittsburgh Sleep Quality Index. So it turns out that both worrying and brooding are associated with lower quality sleep according to this index. And again, these are the components of sleep that are measured in the Sleep Quality Index. Subjective sleep disturbance, like did you have a bad night's sleep? Sleep latency, again, that's the amount of time it takes you to fall asleep. Sleep duration, sleep efficiency, sleep fragmentation, are you getting up and down? Use of sleep medication, and then daytime dysfunction. So all of those are incorporated into the Pittsburgh Sleep Quality Index. And if you are worrying more or if you are brooding more, you're going to have poor sleep quality. And I think the idea here is that the researchers urged us to take a proactive approach to reducing the risks associated with repetitive negative thinking. So they really called it out, and I like this. They called out worrying and brooding as modifiable risk factors for poor sleep. And they suggested that clinicians, researchers, and policymakers could decrease the risk of dementia and other diseases if solutions could be implemented to reduce repetitive negative thinking. Now, what they didn't do is go into the specifics of how to reduce negative thinking. But I think of worrying, again, future negative thinking or brooding, past negative thinking, are modifiable life leaks. Okay, we've talked about life leaks in the past, like doom scrolling too much on your phone, complaining or gossiping. But worrying and brooding are negative thinking that we can now tie to a specific piece of empiric scientific evidence that it's going to decrease your sleep quality, and that's going to decrease your vitality. So here are my three ways to combat negative thinking, and I would encourage anybody who's listening to this or reading this on the Vitality Explorer Substack site to post your comments and suggestions, but these are just three ways that I personally try to combat negative thinking, either brooding or worrying. Number one is deep breathing, and we've talked about this before, but deep breathing calms you down and reduces your negative emotions. That's not my opinion. That's based on a lot of peer-reviewed published data. So if you just do a few, these are called physiologic sighs, where you take two deep breaths in and one longer breath out, that can calm down your frontal lobe, which is where all these ideas that are racing in your head. The second, and this is my number one for me personally, is exhaustive exercise. And that can be walking, running, swimming, lifting weights, just working yourself to physical exhaustion. I call it a reset. It's sort of like a dog. If you take a dog who's acting a little squirrely in the house, you take him for a long walk, or by the way, this works for teenagers as well, you just really, really physically exhaust either that teenager or that dog, and then they act better, right? This is just my personal experience. Also for me, if I'm really uptight about something, either worrying or brooding about something, if I go on a bike ride, a long walk, go to the gym, just work really physically hard, it somehow breaks that cycle in my brain of thinking about it too much. And this is the final one, which I learned from my good friend, retired Navy SEAL Captain Tom Chaby, and that is to shift from threat mode to challenge mode. And this is really a superpower. So you can think of a negative thought, and whatever that is, you know, my project is going to fail, my relationship is going to fail, I'm going to get a bad diagnosis when I go to the doctor, the world is going to end, whatever that is. Shift from threat mode, where you're going to panic and, you know, activate your sympathetic nervous system and get really fight or flight, to challenge mode. And that is, okay, this thing might happen, but if it does happen, or if it did happen, instead of being threatened by it, be challenged by it. Figure out how can you come up with a solution for whatever that worst case scenario would be. So I think all three of these have value. The deep breathing one is stupid simple, right? You can do that anywhere, anytime. Exhaustive exercise, and you know, I don't maybe have empiric data on that, but I would encourage people to consider that as a positive way to get rid of negative thoughts in your head. And then shifting from threat mode to challenge mode has been a game changer for me. And again, you can look at tomchaby.com for further details about that. He's an expert at teaching people how to do that, and I'm very, very lucky to have learned from him. So you can see, you know, all the references to this particular one about, you know, worrying and sleeping less and threat mode and, you know, ways to combat negative thinking on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. And I encourage you to consider that as some component of how you optimize your life. Because remember, on Vitality Explorers and on this podcast, our mission or goal is to optimize vitality one person at a time. And the final thing we're going to talk about today is something positive, and that is smiling enhances happiness. And this is confirmation. There's new research that confirms the value of smiling for vitality. So as I am literally recording this podcast, I am smiling ear to ear because when I was in the office yesterday, I saw my very, very good friend James, and James brings a smile to anybody, right? Disclaimer, James and I worked together for almost 20 years. He is one of the world's most positive people. He's one of the world's best humans in addition to that, but he brings a smile to anybody and everybody he sees. And so I was delighted to see him yesterday. You can see a picture of us if you check out the Vitality Explorer Substack site. But he reminded me of a question that we had previously discussed here in this space, and that is, can smiling enhance happiness? It turns out that 100 plus years of data suggests that that's true. And the concept is based on something called the facial feedback hypothesis. And the hypothesis suggests that contraction of the muscles in our face, literally the smile muscles, influence our emotion. And Stanford researchers have looked at this in the past and found strong evidence supporting smiling as a way to, quote, initiate feelings of happiness. That's kind of a staggering but critical conclusion, that if you just smile, if you just turn up the corners of your mouth and smile, you can affect your emotional status. And this is a headline from a Stanford press release about the paper that they published. And that was, quote, global collaboration led by Stanford researcher shows that a posed smile can improve your mood. And this research evaluated data from almost 4,000 participants, actually 3,878, if you want to know the number, from 19 different countries. And the researchers hypothesized that participants would report experiencing happiness when posing smiles versus a neutral facial expression. And the main research question was whether they would report feeling happier when they were posing smiles versus neutral expressions. And subjects were asked to mimic an actor's expression of happiness voluntarily, like a fake smile, or by placing a pen in your mouth. So if you stick a pen in your mouth, it kind of turns up the corners of your lips, and it mimics a smile. But here's a quote from the analysis of that paper, quote, partial or full recreations of happy expressions can modulate and initiate feelings of happiness. Oh my God, this is like the deep breathing thing for me. If you just smile, if you just stick a pen in your mouth, you can actually increase your feelings of happiness. And here's what's important, is that was a piece of data that we actually discussed last year on Vitality Explorers, but another recently published paper confirmed the value of smiling. And this study used a different way of doing it. They used electrical stimulation of the facial muscles that controls smiling. And the researchers evaluated other people's expressions. This has got a big fancy name, but I'll go, the paper's name is Zygomaticus Activation Through Facial Neuromuscular Electrical Stimulation, FNMES, Induces Happiness Perception in Ambiguous Facial Expressions and Affects Neural Correlates of Facial Processing. Boy, there's a lot of words there, right? But basically what they did, and then you can look at a video on the Vitality Explorer Substack site if you want, they had researchers look at a facial expression of a female avatar, and then they stimulated their facial muscles with low dose of electricity. And here are the primary conclusions of the study. Number one, weak electrical stimulation to certain facial muscles, the ones that control smiling, alters the perception of facial expressions. And that confirms that there's a connection between facial muscle activity and emotional processing. That's the number one conclusion. The number two is the results also highlight the potential for the use of facial muscle electrical stimulation in the treatment of things like anxiety and depression. Think about that for just a second. You could actually hook somebody up to not like electroshock therapy, that's completely different, but just their facial muscles and stimulate it, and it might improve things. That's not been proven. But I think in the Vitality Explorer analysis and recommendations about this particular post is that smiling, like deep breathing, is a zero cost way to enhance your vitality and specifically enhance your happiness. And the data from these investigations should encourage all of us to smile more often. I mean, we can use smiling as a simple way to combat feelings of unhappiness. Obviously, much more work needs to be done on this to see if it can reverse or how long it can reverse bad emotional sensations. But here's my question. What's the downside? What is the downside of just putting a smile on your face? Consider smiling a little more, and then please, you know, post your results or your comments about whether or not it improved your mood or your sensation of happiness or your overall vitality. You can also share this podcast widely for people who are interested in things like sleep or smiling. In this week's Vitality Explorer podcast, we talked about sleeping like a baby may extend your lifespan. We talked about worrying less to sleep more. And we finished with sleeping enhances happiness. I want to remind us of the quote from the beginning, and that is, quote, a ruffled mind makes a restless pillow. Okay, so try to use one of those strategies to combat your negative thinking before you go to sleep tonight. That'll hopefully help you sleep better. That'll hopefully enhance your vitality. If you're enjoying what you've been hearing on Vitality Explorers, please share this widely. Please leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And until next time, I hope you get out there, make a dent in the universe, and dare to be vital. Thank you very much for listening. My name again is Dr. Alan Mishra, and you can find all the references on vitalityexplorers.substack.com. Have a wonderful week, everyone.